Reacher left Patty Joseph's apartment with two business cards. One was Brewer's official NYPD issue, and the other one was an elegant item with Lauren Pauling engraved at the top and private investigator under the name, then ex-special agent, Federal Bureau of Investigation. At the bottom was a downtown address with 212 and 917 phone numbers for landline and cell, and email and a website URL. It was a busy card. But the whole thing looked crisp and expensive, professional and efficient, better than Brewer's NYPD card, and better even than Gregory's OSC card. Reacher tossed Brewer's card in a Central Park West trash can and put Lauren Pauling's in his shoe. Then he took a circuitous route back toward the Dakota. It was close to 1 o'clock in the morning. He circled the block and saw a cop car on Columbus Avenue. Cops, he thought. The word hung up in his mind the same way it had down in Soho, the way a twig on a swirling current catches on a riverbank. He stopped walking and closed his eyes and tried to catch it, but it spun away again. He gave it up and turned into 72nd Street, turned into the Dakota's lobby. The night crew doorman was a dignified old guy. He called upstairs and inclined his head like an invitation to proceed. On 5, Gregory was out in the corridor with the door open and ready. Reacher followed him inside, and Gregory said,
"Nothing yet, but we've got 7 more hours."
The apartment was dead of night, quiet, and still smelled of Chinese food. Everyone was still in the living room, except Burke. Burke wasn't back yet. Gregory looked full of energy, and Lane was upright in a chair, but the others were slumped in various tired poses. The lights were low and yellow, and the drapes were drawn, and the air was hot.
"Wait with us," Lane said.
"I need to sleep," Reacher said.
3 or 4 hours.
"Use Jade's room."
Reacher nodded and headed off through the interior hallways to Jade's room. The nightlight was still burning. The room smelled faintly of baby powder and clean skin. The bed was way too small for a guy Reacher's size. Too small for any guy, really. It was some kind of a half-sized piece, probably from a specialist children's boutique. There was an attached bathroom carved out of another maid's room, a sink, a toilet, a tub with a shower over it. The showerhead was on a sliding pole. It was set about 3 feet above the drain hole. The shower curtain was clear plastic with yellow ducks on it. Reacher slid the head all the way to the top and stripped and took a fast shower with a cake of pink soap shaped like a strawberry and baby shampoo. "No tears," the bottle said. "I wish," he thought. Then he dried himself on a small pink towel and put the tiny, fragrant pajamas on a chair and took the pillow and the sheet and the comforter off the bed and made himself a bivouac on the floor. He cleared bears and dolls out of his way. The bears were all plush and new, and the dolls looked untouched. He moved the desk a foot to one side to make room, and all the papers fell off it. Drawings in crayon on cheap paper. Trees like bright green lollipops on brown sticks with a big gray building beyond. The Dakota, from Central Park, maybe. There was another of 3 stick figures, one much smaller than the others. The family, maybe. Mother, daughter, stepfather. Mother and daughter were smiling, but Lane was drawn with black holes in his mouth, like someone had punched half his teeth out. There was a picture of an airplane low in the sky. Green earth below, a stripe of blue above, a yellow ball for the sun. The plane's fuselage was shaped like a sausage and had 3 portholes with faces in them. The wings were drawn as if from above, like the plane was in a panic turn. The last picture was of the family again, but twice over. 2 Lanes close together and side by side, 2 Kates, 2 Jades. It was like looking at the second picture again, with double vision. Reacher restacked the papers neatly and switched out the nightlight, burrowed into the bedclothes. They covered him from his chest to his knees. He could smell baby shampoo. From his own hair or from Jade's pillow, he wasn't sure. He set the alarm in his head for 5 in the morning. He closed his eyes, breathed once, breathed twice, and fell asleep on a floor made hard and dense and solid by 3 feet of Central Park clay. Reacher woke as planned at 5 o'clock in the morning, uncomfortable, still tired and cold. He could smell coffee. He found Carter Groom in the kitchen next to a big Krupp's drip machine.
3 hours to go, Groom said. Think they're going to call?
I don't know, Reacher said. Do you think they will?
Groom didn't reply, just drummed his fingers on the counter as he waited for the machine to finish. Reacher waited with him. Then Burke came in. He looked like he hadn't slept. He didn't say anything. Nothing pleasant, nothing hostile. He just acted like the previous evening had never existed. Groom filled 3 mugs with coffee, took one and left the room. Burke took one and followed him. Reacher drank his, sitting on the counter. The clock on the wall oven said 5:10. He figured it was a little slow. He felt it was closer to 5:15. Time for ex-Special Agent Lauren Poling's wake-up call. He stopped in the living room on his way out. Lane was still in the same chair, immobile, still upright, still composed, still stoic. Real or phony, either way it was one hell of a display of endurance. Gregory and Perez and Kowalski were asleep on sofas. Addison was awake but inert. Groom and Burke were drinking their coffee. I'm going out, Reacher said.
Another walk?
Burke asked sourly. Breakfast, Reacher said. The old guy in the lobby was still on duty. Reacher nodded to him and turned right on 72nd and headed for Broadway. Nobody came after him. He found a payphone and used coins from his pocket and the card from his shoe and dialed Pauling's cell. He figured she would keep it switched on, top of her nightstand, near her pillow. She answered on the 3rd ring.
Hello?
Rusty voice. Not sleepy, just not yet used today. Maybe she lived alone. Reacher asked, you heard the name Reacher recently?
Should I have?
It will save us a lot of time if you just say yes. From Ann Lane's sister, Patty, through a cop called Brewer, am I right?
Yes, late yesterday.
I need an early appointment.
You're Reacher?
Yes, I am. 30 minutes at your office?
You know where it is?
Brewer gave me your card.
30 minutes.
And so, 30 minutes later, Reacher was standing on a West 4th Street sidewalk with a cup of coffee in one hand and a donut in the other, watching Lauren Poling walk toward him. Chapter 23. Reacher knew it was Lauren Poling walking toward him because of the way her eyes were fixed on his face. Clearly, Brewer had passed on his physical description as well as his name, so Poling was looking for a tall, wide, blonde, untidy man waiting near her office door, and Reacher was the only possibility that morning on West 4th Street. Poling herself was an elegant woman of about 50, or maybe a little more, in which case she was carrying it well. Brewer had said she's cute too, and he had been right. She was about an inch taller than average, dressed in a black pencil skirt that fell to her knees, black hose, black shoes with heels, an emerald green blouse that could have been silk, a rope of big fake pearls at her neck, hair frosted gold and blonde. It fell in big waves to her shoulders, green eyes that smiled, a look on her face that said, I'm very pleased to meet you, but let's get straight to the good stuff. Reacher could imagine the kind of team meeting she must have run for the Bureau.